Yes, I'd like to welcome you to the next episode of Crosscut Maker Podcast. And this is going to be a pretty brief update. As you can tell, if you have listened to this podcast over the past year or so, I pretty much just do eschatological updates / current event updates on the podcast, and most of my ministry is online. You can find that three main places. Crosscutcommentaries.simplesite.com, eoa-indicators.simplesite.com, and those are the two main sites. I've got other things, the gospel presentations elsewhere, but I just want to do a brief update now. I did, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, I was kind of waiting to see how the Israeli elections turned out, but then I ended up doing a podcast because of the Israeli-Gaza conflict that exploded, and when I did that podcast, it was still ongoing. Well, since then, there has been a ceasefire established there. Egypt had a big part to do with that, and maybe Biden administration claims they were involved in that as well. But regardless, the ceasefire has held. It's been, I think, about a week now since there have been rockets fired or airstrikes that have been ongoing. But a couple of key things, I think, that came out of this conflict, as when I did the podcast last time, I thought that Israel would, were that they were determined to absolutely eliminate Hamas permanently, and they were going to continue to go on. But I think the pressure from the global pressure for a ceasefire became so intense that they had to be content with what they were able to do, and they did severely diminish Hamas. I do think, and also the process that has been ongoing since the ceasefire is that they are looking to build upon the ceasefire, obviously, for a long-term peace agreement so these things won't flare up again. And but I do think a significant aspect of the situation is the Palestinian Authority has to be able to have some kind of an established power within Gaza in order for there to be a solution there. And I do think Hamas was probably diminished enough to where that that Abbas and the Palestinian Authority could be the spokespeople for the peace process, because Hamas and Israel are never going to come to peace with each other, because Hamas's stated goal is to eliminate Israel. And Israel, of course, wants to exist. And so you're not going to have any kind of reconciliation there. So I think the international community, hopefully they see that they recognize that Hamas is you're not going to have a peace agreement with organizations like Hamas. They're terrorist groups. But with the Palestinian Authority, and that's who, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken went to the Middle East, did the whole tour, Israel, in Gaza, the Gaza Strip, and he met with Abbas, and then he went to Egypt, and he did the kind of the whole Middle East tour in order. Again, I think the goal there is to build upon the ceasefire. But I think a key point of that conflict is that Hamas was diminished, but not totally destroyed, so I was kind of surprised at that. But regardless, it has focused, the one thing this conflict has focused the world on, Israel, the Middle East has been on fire for quite a while. But it typically is not global news or national news, I used to have to kind of watch Israeli news to see what's going on in the Middle East. Well, over the past couple weeks, it's been, you just watch any news and you're going to hear about what's going on there. And so it has focused the energy and efforts of the world on that region. And the United Nations has met several times engaging in this, and I think that is significant, because I have thought for quite a while that the United Nations will be the core of the Antichrist government, that it will be where the government that is the one world government the Antichrist takes over will originate, in the United Nations. And so it has focused their efforts on that. And so I think that's significant as well. But the reason I did this podcast, really, like I said, it's not going to be a half hour, it's going to be pretty brief, is that I just see everything happening, and it seems to me that everything on a human level that would need to happen in order to go into the tribulation period or have the tribulation period entered into in a quick fashion is set on the table. And what I think a lot of people don't understand when it comes to eschatology, a lot of people do. If you're premillennial and you talk about the tribulation period, you typically are pre-tribulational when it comes to the rapture. But there are some who aren't. But regardless, I've always thought that not only does, and when you talk about pre-trib rapture, you're talking about the rapture, the glorification and removal of Christ's true church. And that's the event. Now, if you want to see that in Scripture, there's several places, but the clearest place is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That's the literal clearest event, or clearest description of that event. And the reason I believe the Scriptures teach pre-trib, but I'm not dogmatic on that. I think you can make a case for mid-trib, having at the midpoint of the tribulation period or at the end. I think you can make a case there, but I'm about 90% pre-trib. And one of the main reasons I believe in the pre-trib rapture is because not only does it precede, but it actually creates the environment necessary. So I call it the hidden accelerant. The world doesn't see. Now, again, if you're lost or you don't believe the Bible at all, you're not looking at prophecy. You're not looking at the nation of Israel. You're not looking at the global governments. You're not looking at Iran, Russia, and Turkey. You're not looking at all these things that would be build-ups to the tribulation period because you don't believe Scripture. But if you do believe Scripture, and especially if you study prophecy, you know, you can see human development of what would have to take place for the tribulation period. But what you can't see, what you don't know the date of, is the rapture of the church. And so there is what I call the hidden accelerant. So what I view and have been viewing for a couple of years now are these build-ups to literally, physically, visibly, you know, you can see these things occurring things that would build up to the tribulation period. But what you cannot see, in my opinion, is the hidden accelerant. And that will be the rapture of the church. That'll be the final global birth pang that would precede the tribulation period. So what I see is all these ingredients coming together, converging, you know, build up to, you know, the Ezekiel 38-39, or build up to the global government, build up to the one world religion, build up to the third temple being built, build up to Israel desiring a peace deal. All these factors, which again, if you want to see those summarized, eoa-indicators.simplicide.com is where I do that. And I have detail there and everything else. But all these things are coming together, converging, to come to the point that almost certainly, soon, the tribulation period, triggered by a seven-year peace agreement involving Israel, would take place. But I think the final fuel to it will be the removal of Christ's true church. It'll be a global event. There, people have different opinions on whether they'll, if you want to see that, it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. There's talking about a voice of an archangel, trumpet of God. I do believe there are people who think it'll be only Christians will hear that, or nobody will hear that. I believe the whole world will hear that. It'll be a declaration. It'll be people will understand something incredible just happened. And they'll hear a loud noise, and then there will be people gone. And I know that sounds strange and almost like movie-like, but it's a biblical, again, I should have told you the passages there. It's a biblical event that will certainly happen sometime. And I think that will be what throws the world into complete chaos, creating all of these already converging events to accumulate, and the peace agreement to come into pass, and then everything else comes to pass. Again, we know that God is sovereign and He is controlling all of these things, and so He is the one who is ultimately behind everything as He builds towards the end of the age. Yet, on a human level, like I said, you see these things converging, but I think the missing final accelerant is the removal of Christ's true church. And I don't know the date of that. I just said that's the one thing we don't know. And anybody who I talk to about this, you know, I say if somebody tells you that they know the day of the rapture, you likely shouldn't listen to anything else they have to say, because it's such a significant disobedient act, clearly. from Scripture, that nobody knows the day or the hour of the return of Christ for His church. And yet, if you see everything coming converging so fast to what would take place that you can see, then you would assume that the rapture of the church could be very, very near. Again, I'll never set a date, but I've just, over the past 2 years, of seeing these things completely continue to go forward, and almost, I start almost every podcast by saying I'm more convinced that we're at the end of the age now than I was the previous podcast, and here I am again, and I'll say it. You know, I think I try and project some of these things in my mind sometimes to see how they'll work out, but of course God is in control, and He does His will, and oftentimes you just don't see things coming. We don't see coronavirus coming. You don't see George Floyd incident coming. You don't see, you know, even this conflict with Gaza and Israel. Didn't see that coming. I was more focused on the politics there, and then all of a sudden something else happens. So God's doing it His way, and so I'm sure there will be more surprises in the coming weeks. But the things that we can see are absolutely barreling towards culmination. And if that's true, then, and if I'm right on the timing of the removal of Christ's true church, that could be something that would be a significant, we could be very close, let's just put it that way. But the call of Scripture to Christians is, regardless of whether you can understand these things and see these things coming, we're called to obey, be alert, prayerful, sharing the gospel, all these things anyway. And if you do recognize these things, the time could be way more limited than you would think, then it should intensify those things. It should focus our efforts on the eternal kingdom, on Christ, more than even normal activity. Of course, it's something we all struggle with. I struggle with that every day. Fulfilling my responsibilities, doing my job, raising family, everything else, and then on top of that, not getting wrapped up in the worldly events and just focusing more upon Christ. Because here's what I'll say again, I say this frequently, and I have to say this to myself just about every time I start to think about eschatology, is it's about Christ. It's not about the tribulation period. It's not about Israel. It's not about, you know, Russia, Iran, Turkey. It's not about the Third Temple. Not all these things are a part of it, but it's ultimately about the return of Jesus Christ. And that's why we truly live in incredible times. The culmination of human history could be very close. So I hope this is an encouragement, and I always close out, and again, this is a brief update, not really. Again, the ceasefire, I think it just, the environment is ripe for a peace agreement. The United Nations is involved, United States is involved, and everything's focused on the Middle East now. And if the rapture of the church, whenever that occurs, everything's just already moving towards what we can see. So I think the significance of the ceasefire is, and the conflict in general there, it has intensified the desire for peace over there. It's gotten everybody involved, including the United Nations, United States, quartet of nations, everybody's trying to get involved in this. The focus is there. And then on top of that, you also have an environment of hostility going on. And something else that could be in the immediate future is yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the organization that monitors nuclear activity, I can't remember the abbreviation of it, but the head of that guy says that Iran is now producing uranium at 60%, and that is certainly, I mean, they have enough of that nuclear material they're very close to building a bomb. And that's really not necessarily the immediate concern, because I think it would still take a little while. But Israel has said they're not going to let that happen. So if Israel is convinced, and this is a significant statement this guy made, that they are, that basically the countries do not produce this kind of material unless they're building a bomb, and if you're doing it 60%, then you're very close to building the bomb, building a nuclear bomb. And if Israel's convinced that they are imminent on having a nuclear bomb, they will attack Iran, and that, of course, when you talk about exploding the Middle East, that would be something that would make the conflict we just came out of look very small. So that could be something to watch in the immediate future. But I'll close out with a gospel presentation, and like I said, it's a brief one, and I might do another one just kind of when significant events happen, I might jump back in. But everything is culminating and converging. And so since the time may be near to the return of God incarnate Jesus Christ, here's a biblical gospel presentation in 30 seconds. One day we will all face the one true and living holy God. You need to have your sins forgiven and be reconciled to Him before that occurs. That only happens biblically by repentance, confessing your sinfulness and hopelessness from your heart to God, and faith. It's believing the gospel as who Jesus Christ is. He's truly man and the one true God, and trusting only in His redemptive work, perfect life, death on a cross for the sins of sinners, and resurrection for your salvation. If you genuinely do this, you will be instantly and permanently covered by the righteousness of Christ, and He will have been treated as if He committed all of your past, present, and future sins. It's the double transaction. If you refuse the offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be judged according to your works. And unless you have lived without even one sin like Christ, will end in eternal conscious condemnation. So I have another post that I post sometimes that talks about you'll be judged in one of two ways. There's only two ways you can be judged. According to Christ's perfect life, His perfect work, His death for sins, or you're going to be judged according to your works. You'll either be judged according to His perfect life or yours. That's it. There's no in between. And if you get judged according to your life, it's not going to be sinless, and you're going to be in trouble. Biblically, one willful sin damns you. One. And again, it's laughable to ever think anybody would only sin one time, but that's the standard of perfection, moral perfection. So hence the need for Christ. So I pray that if you are not converted, that today would be the day that you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And thank you very much for your time. And until next time, may Christ be known.